At the top of your bulletin, so please take it out, is a scripture verse. If you get nothing out of what I am about to say, take this verse with you. Memorize it, which means put it into your heart. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, as you're still looking at that verse, note it begins in the singular, to each. I mean, we are each individual. But that's not how it ends up. Notice there is a shift, or I guess to go with how you're looking at things, from the to each to the common good. Note that. And then it brings in that word manifestation. Manifestation. Not exactly a word we use every day, is it? Now, to jump into the original language of the New Testament, into Greek, that word is phanerosis, which, by the way, is not some disease, even though it kind of sounds like it. Phanerosis. The word phanerosis, which is part of another word called pharaoh, which we're not talking about the guy who was king of Egypt, but phanerosis means to cause to appear, to bring to light, to shine, to be visible. Things that appear to the senses, not just the sight, but things you can touch, to be made evident. It is an evidencing, a clear display, an outward evidencing of a latent principle, or something that actually is there that we can touch, which is an important thing to bring about when it comes to the word spiritual. Because when we think of spirit, we think of something we can't touch. Something we, you know, it's there, but how do you get a grasp of it? Phanerosis, which is not a disease, is actually where we get the word, and have you heard this word? Epiphany? Epiphany? You've heard that word. We're in a season called Epiphany. But that's another word we don't really use. I mean, did you use that word this week? Epiphany? No. But Epiphany, phanerosis, is a part of it. The season of Epiphany, following Christmas, is a season that begins with the remembrance of a story. The story of the coming of the Magi. Now, this story involves some very tangible things and some less tangible things. As we remembered a little bit earlier, it involved a star, but not everybody could see the star. And it also involved some people from a strange place. People who were not part of the people of Israel. They came from other lands. And they brought with them tangible gifts. It's part of the story, right? We remember the what? The gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yes. Gifts. A way of beginning a season of trying to see with different eyes what God is doing. And it's a season that begins with a story that emphasizes that this little baby who was born was not just born for his own family, for one particular race, but was somehow involving the entire world. That's why Matthew included it in his gospel story. That's why it's there. Evidence. Seeing some things that are tangible. Things that we can feel and touch. I don't know what they did with that gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The story doesn't remember that. But it's there. And it's real. Manifestation. I have been in the last couple Sundays trying to encourage you to think about what your passions are. What are the things that just pull you in certain directions? Because I believe, you know, we talked this morning about spiritual gifts. I think that the gifts we have, when we discover them, will come as no surprise to us because they touch our deep-seated passions, the things that God has implanted in us, the things that pull us, push us, nudge us in a variety of directions. Now let me return to that word manifestation. That's how we translate that Greek word into English, at least in this particular translation. Manifestation. We don't use that word very often, do we? And yet, if we would break it apart, as I sometimes like doing, I like dictionaries that kind of break words apart so I know where words come from. Manifest comes from two words in Latin. Manu and festus. Manu, well, your manus, if you want to know, is this. Your hand. Manus. So it's getting across tangible, touchable. Festus, well, you've used that word, maybe not in a positive sense, when, like, for instance, you got termites in the house. What do you say? Your house is infested. So, in a sort of way, when we say about talk about manifestation, God is infesting your life. But it's for the good. It's for the good. Manifestus. That the man, you recognize these words and other things. What is a manuscript? It's something that you write out by hand. Or manufacture. It's something you make with your hand. So, to each is given, come on, got it memorized yet? The manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's good news. None of us is giftless. None of us has nothing to offer. There might be times when we feel like we've got nothing to give, nothing to offer, but that's not the truth. To each has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You know, even people who you think might not, they have been given. I mean, okay, we have this tragedy happen in Haiti. Haiti, which is the poorest, most corrupt country in our hemisphere, North and South America. What do the people of Haiti have to offer? I mean, right now we're thinking, well, what can we offer them? Well, let's back up a minute and flip, which is what the gospel always gets us to do some flipping. What have you been listening to any of the stories? I heard a story this week as I was watching the Today Show. It was a story of a young woman who was down there to give. She was down there to teach reading, and I presume in French, because that's the language of Haiti. She was down there to teach when she got caught up in this earthquake, and she ended up, you know, having her foot crushed, and she eventually lost it. But she is now in a Miami hospital, which, you know, a lot of the Haitian people are still waiting for health care. But there was an interesting part of the story. Well, Matt Lauer was interviewing her, and he was really taken by her spirit and how she was approaching this and everything. But there was a part of the story he didn't really seem to grasp, the part that really stuck out to me. She was down there. Her brother was with her. And she was in this rubble, and they finally got her freed. And then, as the story goes, there were two men. And I am presuming these are Haitian men, who grabbed her and got on one of those scooters. Remember those scooters down in the Dominican Republic? Those little things. One drove, the other sat on the back, cradling this woman in her arms like a baby, and they drove I don't know how many kilometers to where a UN mission was. We go down to help them. Well, do they have anything to offer us? That's a mighty, powerful story as I'm thinking about them. You know, as we hope we can turn the corner as we are thinking about this country, because it's got all sorts of problems. And they're not going to be answered overnight or solved. But these are people who have gifts. As we learned this morning, there are three Church of the Brethren congregations there. So this is a personal thing. They have things to offer us. That's one of the things we learn through on our trip to the Dominican Republic. The people there have gifts. And we have so much to receive, even as we think we've got so much to give. You know, one of the struggles of mission work is we think we are going to give things to other people. But the truth is, when we go and we reach out and we connect, we get far more back in return. And that's the wonder of the gospel, the glory of it all. We discover a connection and how the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Our brethren in Haiti, our brethren in the Dominican Republic, our brethren in Nigeria, where I was last year. They have gifts to offer us as we have gifts to offer them. None is giftless. And if we're talking in a global sense, we're also talking in a congregational sense. Each one of us has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. Now, it's a struggle to kind of figure it out. But as I said, as we figure out, it's no big surprise. Because as we discover these gifts, they said, you know, it's more a case of, well, of course. Because that's been there all along. That inner yearning, that passion. Now, when I'm talking about gut feelings, that's what a passion is, kind of an inner gut feeling. I want to separate that from what I might call an instinct. As I learned this week, my cohort of ministers that gets together, we're trying to get at how do you to develop and sustain passion for ministry in a context of a culture of fear. And so we've been discovering the response of fear and what elicits it. And built into us is an instinctual response that goes a long way back, perhaps to the days when our ancestors roamed the plains of Africa. There is a response to danger that comes very naturally. And it moves us in one or two or another direction. And do you know what those two directions are? Have you heard what they are?
Fight
or flight. Yes. That's an instinctual thing that is built into our very psyche. You know, it's there and it's a part of our brain that's how it operates. And it's for good, actually. It's there for a reason. And it's a fear response that feed, you know, the brain automatically feeds in certain chemicals that get our body juiced up just so that it can run or fight. It's there, which is a good thing. And what makes us different from other animals is the ability to think about that before we act upon it. Because It is all too easy when we face into dangerous situations to dive into that instinctual response and respond in ways that are not appropriate because we've got all this adrenaline running through our systems. Now, when I talk about the passions that are deeply within us, that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about those things that God implants in us also that are for the good. And I believe that God is implanting these things from the very moment of our inception or conception or whatever. And they're developing within us. And the gifts, the spiritual gifts that we are given, kind of touch into that. And when they touch, watch out. Amazing things happen. Now that's all I'm gonna preach about. I think I'm gonna maybe touch on this a little bit more next week. We'll go a little further down this road. But what do I want you to remember? What's that verse? Anybody got it memorized? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And we use them hand in hand. Now, I know later on this passage it talks about feet and hands and stuff like this. We're not all hands, but we share our gifts and they're for the good. And there are many gifts, as that song we're going to sing says, but one Spirit, one God.